One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
Pastor Buddy joining you live around the world tonight, WWRV, transmitting Jewel of the South, located right here in central Tennessee. The world, what world? What world did God so love? You know, the New Testament has given us a false illusion that God loves everyone. John 3:16, the favorite Christian scripture, the most quoted, brought to you courtesy of the Catholic Church, because, you see, they became universal. Is God's gospel universal when he said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Does all mankind belong to the world? Do only certain men belong to that world? Who are those people that God so lovingly loves? Where do they come from? These are the important questions which should be answered and faced up to. Like it or not, a very solid foundation has been established from both testaments to build our faith upon, and this shows the world of an exceedingly, exclusively chosen, called, predestinated, you only, elect race of people. Most people have some thought about the existence of a chosen people, and somehow they come up with a label in their mind through induction of media. The Jews. Now, for all these people, the Jews is a generalization which cannot equate to all Israel. And the Messiah condemned the Jews for what they were in John 8, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, and 44. So the Jews, as the most popular term is applied, cannot be Israel. Now, the two views of the world are two differing gospels. Notice this. The two views commonly taken are really two separate gospels. One of them must be another gospel. Paul warned us when he said in Galatians 1 and 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach or proclaim any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached or proclaimed, let him be accursed. And after a few paragraphs and summaries of these, we've got to consider that the Bible tells us of God's hatred as well as God's love. Now, if God hated even one man, let's just say he hated one man, he would not love the whole world. You understand that? If God hated even one man, he would not love the world. Now, we know it's recorded that he says, Esau have I hated. Now, if God hated Esau, then Edom would not be included in all of going to all the world, or the world of God so loved the world. Now, if God failed to save all mankind, then he is not almighty and unchangeable. He must be powerless. If the world means all mankind, all men are not saved. Could the death of the Messiah be the redemptive love of God? In vain you worship me. That means that some people ain't going to make it. You say, yeah, but he loved the whole world. Well, did he love Esau? The answer is no. Now, for those who are firmly convinced that one, the Messiah, who was crucified, is a Gentile, that he's meek and mild, please also note that he's capable of hate even though you think he's a Gentile or a Jew or a Greek. The Greek word is misio, to hate, to regard with ill will, to detest, to abhor. Now this puts the followers of the Nicolaitans in the same category as Esau, whom God hated before he was even born. Now, if the deeds have nothing to do with the resurrection, why does the Messiah make such a statement about the deeds of the Nicolaitans? If all men are equal before God, why did God hate Esau before he was born? Why did he accuse those who had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? If all men are equal and God so loved all of them. God's love of the elite or the elect is in no way limited. He so loved this world of his elect, the chosen from the foundation with their name. That's the ones he loved. Not everyone was on the Lamb's book from the foundation. Now, the order that he loved his children or his sons or his daughters, that's the one that he came to redeem. I came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's definitely that the Messiah died for those. And we're told that he came to save his people from their sin. Is all of the seed of the earth his people? No. You only have I chosen. He didn't choose the Nicolaitans. He didn't choose Judas. He didn't choose Cain. He didn't choose Esau or the Edomites. Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to look at which world is being addressed and see that the whosoever directly refers to. All of that part been spoken about, and not all of everything. The context is here, Israel. I chose Israel. And whosoever is a mistranslation. It's not in the original. It literally means the entire one, which refers to the entire nation of Israel. Now, it's not those over in the sandbox. It's Israel that was scattered abroad, that will become the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. Will all Israel be saved? The Bible said it will. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament scriptures with understanding and see just why it was so important to quote all the scriptures which show that the law and the Ten Commandments was given to Israel alone. It's vital to understand it. Redeeming love can only mean redemption from the curse of a broken law. Who was the law given to? It was given to Israel. This law was never made for all races. The Bible is not to all the people. The Bible specifies and groups of those seeds that the Bible describes in Matthew 13 as the tares. He's going to save the sheep, because the sheep will hear his voice. The stranger they will not follow. He's going to bundle the tares or the lost. That don't mean he's going to save the whole world. Say, yeah, but he loved them. Don't say he loved the world. He that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. You see that? The covenant was never made to all the races. The covenant was made to redeemed Israel. The redemption price, by law, could only be made by kinsmen, ladies and gentlemen. All the world is not kin to the Messiah. Only Israel. Today we had in our meeting, we had the scriptures brought that only the kinsman redeemer was capable of redeeming or buying back. He bought back through that redemptive price paid by the kinsman according to the law that Yahweh gave Israel. Hence, the Messiah is the kinsman. He's David's son. He is not the kinsman of any other race. Now, if you go back to John 3, where the Messiah is talking about Nicodemus, he was a ruler or master of Israel. Israel is the world that they're talking about. Not the world at large, but the world of Israel. That word world is considered to be a ethnos, or a people in the cosmos. To whom was he speaking to? It tells us which cosmos is under discussion. The whole matter concerns Israelites and a master in Israel who is Nicodemus. Verse 3. They have to be begotten from above, not born again as translated. Again, verse 3. Begotten from above. Now, from above was the Lamb's book, written before the sheep ever came to the earth. Written for the sheep that came to the earth and became lost. I am only sent to. I'm not sent to the Gentiles. Go not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep. But we're told that they went to the Gentiles. Unless the Spirit, now listen to this, is inherited from conception, none can enter the kingdom of God, according to 1 John 3:9. Those who are thus born of the Spirit, the 12 tribes, respond to the call of the Spirit. And even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. To which race? Was it the whole world that Moses lifted up the serpent to? No. Which race was healed and cleansed from the serpent bites? Was it the whole world? No. It was only Israel. At the beginning, when Mark quoted in 16:15, in connection with going into all the cosmos and preaching or proclaiming the gospel to every creature, which world were the disciples to go to? Now, if the Messiah told them, go not to the Gentiles, which were in the world, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to the lost sheep, according to 15:24 Matthew, that's whom I'm sent to. Now, the disciples were sent to the lost sheep, an ethnos of the house of Israel. To whom and to which world were they then sent? When Moses was declaring, a prophet shall, like myself, shall be raised up unto you, obey him, for my name is in him. By what name do we call on? Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh in the last days, not the Lord. Two-thirds of the Christian world call on the Lord, and there's many lords. But to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, to us there's only one. And to whom were they sent? 15:24, like I said in Matthew, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. To what race was he sent? The whole world? No. To the lost sheep you only have I known. Go not in the way of the Gentiles into any city of the Samaritans. Enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep. James said, to the lost sheep or to the sheep scattered abroad, to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad, not to the world, but to the 12 tribes. Disciples were instructed specifically not to go to certain people. Now, the disciples of the Messiah went out from Galilee knowing exactly where to find the lost sheep. They knew exactly where to go to. They knew that they had departed in 721 B.C. But you say, Pastor Buddy, consider the verse there. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world. These verses that I've just quoted are the basis of the thought that the go and preach the gospel to every creature means that all the world. When it actually refers to going to every person that were of the lost sheep. That word caruso means to proclaim or to announce the good news. It does not mean to make disciples or to evangelize as many teach.
Well, I'm going over to Africa to convert the people, glory to God, because God said go into all the world.
And wherever you find a human being, you go to them. Ain't what he said? This is the zeal of those who are ignorant, who are blind, who do not know the scriptures. The Greek word, katheos, is the word for creature. Strong's number 2936. As original formation, building, creature, and ordinance. Vine's dictionary goes on to say of the New Testament word katizo is used among the Greeks to mean the foundation of a place, a city, or a colony. It's a significant confirmation of Romans 1:20 that in all non-Christian Greek literature, these words katizo and its derivatives are never used by Greeks to convey the ideal of a creator or of a creative act by any of their gods. The words are confirmed by them to the acts of human beings. This is the creature, or rather creation, of Mark 16:15. The word katias is the Greek used to indicate the product of a human building or formation. It's this context that refers to a village or a place where people live. A katias is built by man, not God. The disciples were to go specifically to the places or the villages or the places where the Israelites had gone to be scattered around the earth. You shall not go over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become, according to Matthew 10:23. You cannot make the cities of Israel mean the cities in all the world or in every race. Note that the Messiah is speaking of the time of the end. And the area of the proclamation is not all the world of Israel. They were proclaiming it is not the gospel to all the world. It's not the gospel to the Canaanites. It's not the gospel to the Edomites. He still hates them. He said, but Jesus loved them. He said, to love them. Well, let's see if he did. Listen to John the Baptist proclaiming, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here come the Sadducees and the scribes. He said, who warned you? You snakes. Snakes cannot be saved. Snakes are two-legged people that God hates. God would never have those in his house. And yet the world drags anything in the world into the kingdom, or so they say. But will God receive everything that they drag, push, or pull into the kingdom? No. Pastor Buddy, that you get churches bigger, they get more money. The theory of the Catholic whore. The whore got into bed with anything she could to save or to promise them liberty when they themselves are servants of corruption. Now, does all, the word all, does it usually mean everything? or all of that part being spoken about? Does all the world mean the whole planet? Or just all of a part of the region of the planet spoken about? Young's analytical concordance shows that these words are used in this context, not to mean all of the world. It gives you an indication without having to go to the Greek, being certain on the topic as well as worth the time involved for researching the lexicons to determine the correct meaning of the words used. The word for all, ever, so on and so forth, are often singular, not plural. All. All the one group, or the whole of the class, or the entire of the class, a specific race, an ethnos, a people. Now, to grasp the use of all in Greek and Hebrew, let me give you Deuteronomy 28:10. And all the people of the world shall see that thou art called by the name of Yahweh. You see, it specifically mentions the world, all the world. And then it identifies a small collective group separated from the world, chosen out of the world, that don't love the world, and they have the love of Yahweh, because they shall be hated for his name's sake. All the peoples of the earth does not include the sons of Jacob. And so then, failure to understand the wording could get you in serious trouble. Just like it says, and all the world in the days of Caesar Augustus, when all the world was to be taxed. We know that it was just Israel proper and the provinces of Rome, not all the world. The word all doesn't necessarily mean the entire, all of humanity of the world. It's not plural. Now, if an exception is made about the Edomites and the Canaanites and the seven nations in Deuteronomy 7, check it out. Make no marriages with them, have nothing to do with them. They can't find repentance. Yahweh, when he come, the Messiah, the one we call Jesus, said, leave them alone. Even these cannot be part of all being addressed, but the Messiah did not proclaim to certain peoples, as we have seen. He said he was sent to save his people, Israel. Now, can we be wiser than the Messiah? Are there two different in Gospels? Are we go to all, or we selectively go to all of Israel, who is a part of the whole? The number one Gospel going to all the world, and the command of the Catholic Church means universal, is to deceive. It's to include all of those that are in the world, be it Jew, Gentile, be it anyone of any particular race, that God's going to drag and chase and pull anything that they can and receive it as a offering. They only adopted the universal gospel so that they could fatten up their offering plate. Now, if the Messiah gave his life that he became the Redeemer of all men to redeem them from the curse of the law, what is the other races doing there when they did have not a covenant or a law or a relationship or a promise? And so, God, who is supposed to love all men and every individual member of the human race, including those that God says he hates. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a hard saying. When you become exclusive, that's how you're racist. When you exclude instead of include all, but the Bible says the gospel is not for all sinners of every race. Amos 9 and 10 says, these are sinners. They're my people. They're called. There are no tare or goats. They're chosen. There's no inferior vessels, despite what Paul says to the contrary, as it seems to be. There are no 12 tribes of Israel anymore, even if they are throughout the New Testament gathered in one place. They're scattered throughout the world. So then an ethnos, go into a particular people. The lost sheep is scattered among the heathen. When the Bible says all men are supposed to have faith, even the Bible says not all men have faith. So why would he love somebody without faith? People believe that the Messiah was given to all races and that he didn't die for his children or his sheep of Israel. They tell you that all races are predestinated, and yet they don't have a covenant. There are no elect people, nor any election according to grace, according to the world. We're all worthy to be saved. He has mercy on everyone, not just on whom he chooses or elects. He will take anything or anyone as long as you confess Jesus. What about the spiritual differences between men of different origins? Well, if you preach that, Pastor Buddy, you'll become a racist. None Israelite races. The gospel's not to them. Even though the Bible says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption? Romans chapter 9, verse 4, and of whom, concerning the flesh, the Messiah came. Now, he came for who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Where do we get this missionary conviction? Could it be that we got it from a church that defied Yahweh to be racist and to be peculiar, and to be chosen a royal priesthood and embrace all races, that the love of God would cover it because he so loved the world? Somebody might say, well, the gospel says it's up to everyone of every race if you want to be saved or not. And I went down to the first or second or third, fourth or fifth, whatever. This faith or that faith, whatever. They will give you the sacred rites of eternal life just because you joined their church. It becomes the gospel of individual, universal salvation offered only by the church of the Catholic, not the Bible. The false gospel claims that in general mankind, he is sovereign and he makes the choices. This is the everlasting gospel, the true gospel, in which we stand if we continue in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints and delivered to no one else. The Bible says, for God so loved the world of his elect, the little select group, This, I chose you not because you were the most. I chose you because you were the fewest people upon the earth. If God loves only the world of his elect nation, and the election established before having done good or evil, there is no reference to God loving all mankind and giving them this mercy and this grace. Only to the lost sheep. He came to those that were chosen before the foundation of the world. He's the shepherd. And he gives his sheep, not their sheep, his sheep. His sheep, he said, you're not my sheep. John 10:15. He didn't die for the goats. He died for the sheep. The goats going on the left hand, the sheep going on the right, the sheep of the right hand will say, he'll hear them say, enter into the joy of the kingdom. To the goats he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, if he came to save his people, they were already his people, and the gospel is for the transgressions of my people, according to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8. It's a gospel of grace. Chosen, peculiar, royal priesthood, a holy seed. Yahweh said, I will be gracious to whom I will. Make choices. And can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me this? But the Bible said, it's not of ourselves. We were chosen before the foundation, the gift of God to us, the lost sheep, or the sheep. God is merciful to whom he will, and he hardens to whom he will. Romans 9:18. The sons of God are adopted out of the children of Israel, not out of other races. You see, it's the church world that has figured out how to keep Baal and people calling on Baal without ever really changing or without ever really being one of the sheep. Oh, they look like sheep. They bleat like sheep. They come before him, play well on instruments. They sing and make melody, play well on the instruments, but they say and do not, because Yahweh said, I didn't call them. They're not my sheep. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you know better than that. Now, the redeemed constitute only one particular race of people. You chosen seed of Israel's race. A remnant, weak and small. Tell him who saves you by his grace and crown him Yahweh of all. But you say, Pastor Bunny, I just believe it. God loves everybody. The world is a beautiful place. God don't hate nobody. God loves you, honey. Well, let's see here. When he comes, what is he going to say? I love everybody. I think I'll just save everybody on the earth. When he said he's coming back in wrath and flame of fire, and he's going to gather and burn people and behead them. What? Yeah, that's not the whole world, is it? He don't love the whole world. He says he's coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance Now, you'll not hear too much of that preached, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. Because Jesus loves everybody. It's a tickling your message. It's a stumbling block. Modern teaching. It's to be put in our way to deceive the very elect. It is appreciated by the people of the world who do not have to be chosen from above, but from below. And the priesthood and the selection become stumbling blocks, which would represent most of those that are raised from these altars of Baal so that they will become hindering or tinkling cymbals and sounding brass because they're not in the main part of the Book of Life. It's contrary to the nature of God to love everyone. And yet we're made to believe God loves you. The message of the Christian church is God loves you. The message of the law of Yahweh is, be not ignorant, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow is what you reap. You got in character, it come from Spirit above, given to you from the foundation of the world. It's not what you did, it's what He did, and it's not who you chose. It's who chose you. You did not choose me, he said. I chose you. So you don't have any choice about who you choose. Although they can give you a choice. And of course, they promise you eternal life. And of course, you would like to have that. The Bible says if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them as false. Listen to this. Genesis 3:15, it is God who put a perpetual enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Said there'll be a continuous war. But you say God loves those. Do you know that it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan has transformed himself as an angel of light and even his ministers are now preaching salvation. You know there ain't no salvation under the anointed preaching of the world, of these satanic prophets who give you a ticket to heaven or a rapture trip and promise you that God's going to come and pluck you out of the many and rapture you out. It's the teaching of smooth speech and enticing words, because it's God who put the perpetual enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. There'll be a continuous warfare. The tares sown by the enemy, the devil. It was Yahweh who put the mark upon Cain. Cain never received repentance. Yet today we don't have no Canaanites according to everybody in the world, because they'll save anything that comes into the world. There's still Canaanites in the world. God divided between Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. He even placed different destinies of each of the 12 tribes of Israel according to Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33. Just go read it. Spiritual or scriptural discrimination between men or Adam. You find the words for men do not apply to women in both Hebrew and Greek. Ish and Aner. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Malachi 1, verse 2 and 3, Romans 9, 13. Yahweh chose Israel and said that they should not be reckoned among the nations, because they were chosen a royal priesthood. Numbers 23:9, and I'm not talking about the Jews who say they are Jews and are not, but they are liars. It is God who chose, it is God who blessed, it is God who initiated the covenant. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Yahweh, for he shall save his people from his people, the Hebrews, from their sins, Matthew 1:21, and they were and are God's people before they were saved again, because he sent the light, and they that are of God will hear God's word. Revelation chapter 5, for thou wast slain, and you have redeemed us by God, by the blood of out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And the Gentiles go wild about that. Say, see, that means us. And he's made us as unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Well, that's the 144,000 was chosen in the first resurrection. All of them males, all of them Hebrews. Not one Gentile in the crowd. A holy people. You know, that attention is drawn out of the first verse and of the second verse. Both are the same Greek preposition, eke, with the literal meaning showing it is not all the nations, but peoples, a chosen, taken out from among them. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. This peculiar treasure will be above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In that the Hebrew were his people in plural, with the article giving the meaning of all the peoples, then these verses are addressed only to Israel. It's plain. As a multitude of the prophecy. It's confirmed in the New Testament by the Apostle Peter regarding the same singular, peculiar people. In 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Do you think everybody on the earth is a royal priesthood and has potential? A holy nation. Does this world look holy to you? You're a peculiar people. Does Christianity really change you after that they have anointed you and give you the grace and claim that Jesus loves you? You've confessed him and he's going to save you. Because they misinterpret the word whole or all. It's reference not to every tribe of the world, but the 12 tribes, all of them. One people, one tongue, one nation. These are all national, not racial. It must be remembered that Israel had 12 tribes which became scattered among the nations from one blood. And the word is in Acts 17:11. It's been added to the text, ladies and gentlemen. The word blood is not in there, that he made of one blood all nations. What he's talking about, that this 12 tribes of the people of Jacob's blood were chosen because these were spoken by their captors and later of those nations which they went among and were dispersed and scattered. And they became a people lost, out of reach, out of touch, blinded. The holy nation was to be the reestablishment of the sovereignty of the kingdom of God on earth. That's what it's coming about. It has a territory. It has a people. It has laws. It has one king. It has an economy. It has an administration. And all these things God was now about to give the children of Israel at Sinai. The people accepted God as their king, thus making them a holy nation, and God has never rejected that sovereignty over the throne or that nation. If every race had been included, then this would all be meaningless. You know that the redemption, which is of that people who had once been redeemed from Egypt, the Exodus is the first place where there's no mention of redemption. Look at Exodus 15:13. The redemption in Scripture is always the redemption of not the world, but of Israel. And not Israel over there, Israel scattered abroad. Get your mind wrapped around that. It's important. E.W. Bullinger makes this comment, and I agree. But now the people have been scattered among every kindred and tongue and people and the nation, and therefore remember that they must be redeemed out of those the second time, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. We're going to have a redemption. He's coming back and flaming far, taking vengeance on them that know not Yahweh. He's going to gather the good into the granary, and the bad he's going to cast into hell. Bring them here. Slay them before me. Does that sound like God so loved the world? Remember, he's going to set his hand the second time. The first time was in the wilderness. The second time, when he comes back for the remnant of his people from Assyria that crossed the Caucasus and into the isles beyond the sea, there would be a regathering of his people, not of other races, but to those who were scattered abroad, the 12 tribes. You say, well, buddy, you're excluding a lot of people. You got it. Straight as a way and narrow the gate. And only a few there be that find it. You listen to Pastor Buddy. You got my message tonight. God so loved the world. Which one? That's the question. Which world did he love? Who does he love in the world? Does he love the world? Is he gathering a people out of the world that don't love the world? A people of his covenant. Saved with a holy calling as a peculiar people. That washed the robes in the Lamb's blood. Who were redeemed by the blood to a peculiar royal priesthood. You're not my sheep, he said. He don't love all people. And so, what do we say here about John 3:16? A deliberate addition, when the Catholic Church got a hold of the New Testament, they added the text so that the Catholic Church could become universal, not selective, Well, not racial, which it is, I'm sorry to say. And Yahweh would have every one of them to be saved that's in this group that belongs to His blood, His people, are called by His name. And the exclusion is those of the world, the Canaanites. Cain can't go. I'm sorry. The church would save him and he'd get down and repent and wail and cry. The Bible said that Cain sought Yahweh and cried out for salvation. Salvation is only to the house of Israel. He loves you. Write me tonight, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568. Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. You can call me. Area code 423-351-1082. Now, we're right in the fourth day of our festival, Second Passover. Had a great crowd, having a great time with good teaching, good eating, good fellowship, and we're having a great festival. Now, what is the Passover called a festival? A festival is where you come together in fellowship and eat and share the meals that are prescribed by Yahweh. And each one, you're told specifically what to do and how to do it, so that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of Yahweh. There's no Old Testament dispute. We know that there's the two kingdom, the house of Israel, 10 tribes, known as Ephraim, the house of Judah, 2 tribes, known as Yehuda. Now, these two houses have had a little enmity between them, and according to prophecy, they will retain this enmity until unity is restored and the two sticks become one. Coming up, I prophesy that in 20 and 12, there shall be a great time of trouble. The time of the crossing. I've preached 40 hours on 20 and 12. Becoming very effective to mean something spiritually. May not matter much physically, but I believe it will. A time of trouble that the sons of Jacob has never seen or ever will see. The two sticks have to come together, and when that happens, Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison. In Hebrews 8 and 8, behold, the days come, come on, Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, enter Judah and enter Israel, the two sticks. They shall, according to the prophecy, become one. And when they become one, Satan will be angry and he'll go out to make war against these chosen, not the world. The world's going to be eating and drinking and being merry. The Holocaust is going to be against the Hebrews, not the Jews. The real deal, the real hurting. You'll find that they will gladly give their life. Go to our website tonight, Brother Bob. Has given us some awful good reports. We've had over 12,000 people in about 2 months to visit our website. Awesome. We're very pleased. Brother Bob has done a magnificent job of maintaining, with a lot of work and effort and concern and detail, with the website. Go visit it. You'll be blessed. Many articles related to this. This article is on the website, Which World Does God Love? You figure it out. You figure out just who wrote John 3:16. There's no record in the scripture of the New Testament that there is a covenant with any other groups, especially those who are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Watch out when you read. Make your election and calling sure, for God, Yahweh, could send you a strong delusion that you could believe a lie and be damned. Don't be deceived. Don't take any substitutes for the truth. I'll see you Friday night around the world on WWRB. Thank you.